finding that. This point, and we'll read the first couple verses. I'm going to try my best to preach through the majority of the text today. We won't take it verse by verse. There's 40 verses in this chapter, but I do want to give you the theme or the thought of the chapter and see if we can't get some encouragement from it. Psalms chapter number 37, and let's begin reading in verse number 1. David said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Father, bless us this morning as we try to preach. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Psalms chapter number 37 is a continuation of the psalm before it. In Psalms chapter 36, what actually begins this thought, David begins to ask the question and struggle with the question of the wicked and the unrighteous, and why the unrighteous prosper. David asked the old question, why do the unrighteous get by with their sins? And I'm sure that you are not like me, because you're more spiritual than I am, but you've probably wondered the same thing a time or two. How in the world can somebody live like they're living and get by with some of the things that they're getting by with? You've never thought that way, have you? It's just me. It is believed that David wrote Psalms chapter 37 in his mature years or his older years. In fact, it is believed that David is writing these Psalms in his older years to his younger son Solomon, because he knows Solomon will one day take the throne and lead the nation. And so David knows that Solomon will deal with the same thing that he is struggling with, and that again is the unrighteous prospering. And so David's advice to his son in chapter number 37, after he deals with the unrighteous in 36, his advice to his son in chapter 37 is found in verse number 1. And David gives this advice to Solomon: "Fret not thyself." Basically, David said this. He said, don't worry about the evildoer. Don't be envious of the evildoer. Their day is coming. Instead of worrying about the unrighteous, David wanted Solomon to realize that God was good in his own life. In fact, he says this, verse 1, don't fret about the evildoer, but instead, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Do good. Verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. David is giving his son the advice, don't worry about the evildoer, but remember the goodness of God. The truth is that God had been good to David. Sure, David had his enemies to fight. He had his bumps in the road. He had his ups and downs. But the aged and older David looks back at his life, and as he sees his road behind him and he sees the history behind him, David says this, he testifies, God can be trusted and God is good. And so I want you to get this picture now. Here is the older man David, and he's saying to the generation to come, Solomon, God can be trusted. God is good. Serve the Lord. Now this morning, you and I have taken some time to remember the past. We have looked back on 80 years of church heritage. 80 years is an amazing accomplishment. Many churches have come and gone in that period of time, but God has allowed us to continue the work here at Northside Baptist Church. We are like David this morning. I think that we could say at 80 years of church history, I think we could say that we have matured. We could say we are maybe an older church. And on this homecoming, I think that it would be appropriate for us to look at this psalm along with David and see the blessings of the Lord and let them encourage us to serve God in the future. I want to preach for just a minute on this thought, looking to the past to encourage the future. Looking to the past to encourage the future. David gave three testimonies I think we can give this morning to his younger son Solomon. Number one, he testified that the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. David begins this chapter with the phrase, don't fret. And then he follows that with the phrase, trust in the Lord. Now, this is not my message, but I'm going to say it because it's too true not to say on my way to my message. But how many of you all know that a fretting heart is not a trusting heart? Ah, don't we know that? It is hard to worry and trust at the very same time. And so David says, don't worry, don't fret, but instead trust. Instead of worrying over the unrighteous, David encourages his son to trust the Lord. He says it twice. He says it in verse number 3, and then he says it again in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord. Now, I don't know that it happened this way, but I'm using my imagination, so you'll just have to come along with me for a minute. But I can almost picture David as he sits down writing to his younger son. And as he does so, he begins to look back over the years of his life and the things that God has accomplished and the things that God has done. And in my mind, I can picture David as he looks back on being a younger man. And he can remember the day that he walked out onto that battlefield. And he was just a young lad, just a little boy, just a kid. And on the other side of that battlefield was a giant. This guy was 9 feet tall. He was such a big man that he had 6 fingers on every hand and 6 toes on every foot. That's a big dude. He's carrying a shield that's the size of a door and a spear that's the size of a weaver's beam. And he is a big giant with a big mouth, and he's threatening big things, and all David is a little shepherd boy with a sling and a few stones. And I think that everybody that saw that situation probably would have thought something like this: I don't know what that kid is doing, but he better get off that battlefield. Maybe somebody would holler from the crowd, boy, I don't know if you know what you're doing or not, but you're about to get yourself hurt. You need to go back home, go back home, go back home. You are going to get killed if you face that giant. But what those people in the stands, Grandpa, did not know is that as that little shepherd boy was walking out on the battlefield, he's mumbling something underneath his breath. Maybe they can't hear him up in the stands, but he's saying something like this: you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, God of Israel. He's saying something like this. He's saying, this day, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head off of thee. You say, how is he doing that? Because David wasn't trusting in David. David was trusting in God. And David said, I may not be much, and I may not be very big, but I have got a very big God that is able to do very big things. And that day God gave him a very big victory on that battlefield. And now David looks back on his past, and he remembers the day that all he had was trust. All he had was faith, but all he needed was faith. All he needed was trust. He did not have a sword. He did not have a spear, but he had trust in God, and God came through for him. And so now he says to Solomon, I've learned something. I've learned you can trust the Lord. Can I say that you and I can trust the Lord this morning? I was reading over and looking at the history of the church this week, and something caught my attention as I was reading it over. 80 years ago in 1939, there was a handful of men and women that were meeting together and having church. The more they met, the more history says they were impressed by the Lord to start a church in this community. So they did the right thing. They started praying and started asking God to do something. And here's the thing that caught my attention. I said it in the little video earlier. This blew me away. They say that there was two men gathered together praying that God would help them to start a church. They're praying, now get this, they are praying for God, two men praying for God to start a church, and all of a sudden a preacher walks in from nowhere and says, hey, God sent me over this way and said that I'm supposed to start a church over here. Now you believe what you want to believe, so that was a good coincidence. No, that was the mighty hand of a great big God. That was a group of men and women that just trusted God, that just cast their faith upon God. They said, God, you're wanting us to do something, and we want to do something for you. And God came through, and he sent a man, and he started a church, and here we are 80 years later. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, God can be trusted. Amen. I love this. I love the fact that God can be trusted. Now, some of us weren't here 80 years ago to see all that happen. But you know what we can do? We can look back in our own lives. We can look back at our own yesterdays, and we can see how God has helped us in the past, and God has blessed us in the past, and God has came through for us in the past. And if God blessed us then, he will bless us now, and he will bless us tomorrow. And we can look at our yesterday, whatever our yesterday is, and say, here I am by the goodness of God. I trusted him then. He didn't let me down then. I think I'll just trust him one more time. God is faithful. I love this. David tells his son in verse 3 to trust in the Lord. But watch this, he throws three words in, three good words in when he tells him to trust the Lord. In verse number 4, he throws in this word. He throws in the word delight. Verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. That word delight, that word literally means to be pampered is what it means. He is telling Solomon, pamper yourself in the blessings of the Lord. This means that he is wanting his son to enjoy the goodness of God, the blessings of God, because they are abundant in his life. Do you know what the devil would like for you to do? The devil would like for you to see all the things in your life that you don't have. He would like for you to see all the things where you think that you have been shorted, that you have come up wronged. He wants you to see all the things you don't have. You know why he wants you to see the things you don't have? Because when you see what you don't have, instead of seeing what you do have, you begin to lose faith in God. But when we begin to look around us and we begin to notice blessings that we maybe have never noticed before, and we begin to appreciate things that we've never appreciated before, and we say, there's a blessing, and there's a blessing, and there's a blessing, and there's a blessing. You know what? By the time we get through counting our many blessings one by one, we will be so blessed that we will say, if God has done all of this for me, then I can trust him to do whatever else I need him to do. God is blessing us. He said, delight in the Lord. Verse number 5, he throws in this word. It's the word commit. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. The phrase your ways, he said, commit thy ways in verse 5. The phrase thy ways means the plans that you make for the future. It means the burdens that you carry in life. It means the situations that you deal with. He is saying in verse 5, you can commit all of these things to the Lord. That word commit means to roll off, or it means to cast. It's the same word that Peter used in 1 Peter 5:7 when he said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You see, God is faithful, but that faithfulness does not prevent us from having situations in life. But David said, when those situations inevitably come up, cast them on God, because God is faithful and he can be trusted with those things. And then finally uses the word rest. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. The word rest means to be still, or it means to be silent. David tells his son to fully trust the Lord, to learn to silently wait before him. You see, the truth is that trust is not trust if trust can't wait. Did that make sense? Trust is not trust if trust can't wait. You see, if God immediately just gave us everything we ask for, why would we have to learn to trust him? There's no trust in that. We're just getting what we want. But sometimes we ask for things, or we pray about situations that we're dealing with, burdens and battles and things, and God doesn't immediately answer that prayer. See, you got to trust in the Lord. Rest in the Lord is the way David said. He said, rest in him. Just because the answer hasn't already come doesn't mean the answer is not coming. I thought about this. We have been praying for over a year at this church for a piano player, have we not? You're still praying about that, aren't you? We're still praying about that. It's been over a year and we still don't have a piano player. Well, let me ask you a question. Does that mean that God doesn't hear our prayers? Does that mean that God is not going to bless this church? Does that mean that God cannot be trusted? The answer to all those questions is no. God is hearing our prayer. God is going to bless this church. God can be trusted. We just got to keep praying and rest in the Lord until he answers our prayers. You know something that'll help us to be here another 80 years? If we learn to trust the Lord. The Lord is faithful. Now watch this, number two. Not only is the Lord faithful, but David said, Solomon, I want you to know the Lord is full of goodness. The Lord is full of goodness. Look at verse 23. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast away. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I can almost picture David one more time. He is sitting alone. He is thinking over his life as he writes this psalm. As he thinks about his history and his life, he's immediately struck by the trustworthiness of God, and he writes, trust in the Lord. But as he continues to think over his life, he is struck once again. And this time he writes in verse 5, I've looked over my life. I have been young. Now I am old. And in that time I have never seen God forsake the righteous. He's never failed one of his children. There's no doubt that David could think of the ways that God had blessed him. You think about this. David wasn't always the king. He was the shepherd before he was the king. And you know what I think David realized? David said, you know, I've got a banqueting table here in this palace that I am fed with. He said, but I remember when I was just the shepherd boy, God was still feeding me then. He thinks about the fact that he's got some battles to fight as a king, and God is letting him win victories. But at the same time, there was battles to fight when he wasn't the king, when he was just the shepherd boy, and God was giving him victories then. He is saying, I have been young, I am now old, and I can testify that through it all, God has been good. God has been good. Again, I thought about the history of this church. I could testify about the goodness of God this morning, and some of you could help me out and testify better than I could. Maybe I could tell you how that Broadway Baptist Church gave a corner lot on the corner of Bernard and Ray Street so that this church could be built. Maybe I could tell you how that the outer shell of this church was formed in one day and the people met that very night to have the first service. Maybe I could tell you how that 20 years later they had outgrown the original building. So Pastor Harbin and the people entered into a building program. And 2 years later, that church was not only established and built, but the note for it was burned and the church was left completely debt-free. Maybe I could tell you how the building was added on to, how that a fellowship house was bought, how that a roof was paid for, how that microphones were purchased, how that this church started supporting missionaries, hosting revivals, and today we're still debt-free. Maybe I could tell you about that. Maybe I could talk about the men and women, the boys and girls that have come to this altar and been saved, baptized up in that baptistry, had their lives changed, had their families put back together, how that people got help. God's presence has been felt down through the years. I could testify, looking back at history, that God has been full of goodness. God's been full of goodness. Oh, let me quickly show you two things. Notice who it is that the Lord blesses in verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The man that God blesses in our text is the man that has his steps ordered. That word ordered means directed or established. The man that has his steps ordered by the Lord. This means that the blessed man is the man walking in the path of righteousness. He is following the leadership of God. Does this mean that we're going to always be perfect? No, because the very next verse, verse 24, says sometimes you're going to stumble. But aren't you glad the same verse that says sometimes you're going to stumble says God doesn't cast you away when you do, but He just keeps holding you up with His arm of righteousness. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. This is wonderful. The blessed man may stumble, but God doesn't cast him off. Now, notice the principle. The blessed man. The blessed man is the man walking in the paths of righteousness. The Lord blesses the man for doing right. There's a blessedness that comes to an individual, and there's a blessedness that comes to a church that is doing right. The only reason we're here 80 years later is because we've done something right. The thing that the church has obviously done right is just look to Him and follow Him. And God's done good things. He's blessed. But notice this. Notice letter B, that it's not always material blessings that He blesses us with. Notice that blessings are not material. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Blessings don't always come in the form of large bank accounts, nice homes and fancy cars. Verse 16 says, you may not have any of those things, and yet you could still be blessed by the Lord. You say, well, how does God bless His people? Well, He blesses them with peace. You understand that there are very wealthy people today that would give you every dollar that they have if you could give them peace. You know what God gives us? He gives us joy. People spend money day after day on things they don't need because they are trying their best to find a joy. But the secret is that joy comes from the Lord. People try to buy love. God gives us love. People spend money to try to win affection and gain favor, but love comes from God. People can't buy hope. God gives us hope. There are many, many people with money that have no hope for tomorrow. If the stock market was to fall tomorrow, all of their hope would be gone. But we have hope beyond this life. Our hope's not down here. Our hope's in Him. Let me tell you something that God blesses His righteous people with that this world cannot buy. He blesses us with eternity. You ever heard the old saying, you can't take that money with you when you go? Amen. When they put you in that box and bury you 6 feet under, it won't matter how much money you had or did not have. It won't matter how nice your car was, how many stories your house was. There'll be only one thing that matters in that day, and that'll be whether you had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, whether you had ever knelt before Him and asked for forgiveness and salvation and had His blood applied to your heart. There'll be only one thing that matters when eternity comes, and that'll be whether you knew Jesus Christ. Verse 16, you may not have a lot and be full of blessings. Let me show you this. Number three, I'm done. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is full of goodness. And the Lord, number three, is our future. The Lord is our future. Look at verse 35. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. David finishes with a story. It's a story about a wicked man. He describes him as being a green bay tree. This tree at one point seems to be flourishing, it seems to be doing good, but in the process of time something happens. It is chopped down, and it passes away. It's interesting that David describes the wicked as a green bay tree in Psalm chapter number 37 that is cut down and passes away. The reason I find that interesting is because in Psalm chapter 1, when we begin the book of Psalms, he describes the righteous man as being a tree. You remember that? I preached on that a few weeks ago. But this man is like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. You see, that man is drawing power from an outside source, and that outside source is sustaining him and keeping him going and giving him life. You see, the wicked will be cut away, the wicked will be cut down. But those that trust in the Lord, realize the goodness of God, they've got a future. Do you know why? Because they are drawing from another source. It was the Lord that began this church. It was the Lord that sustained this church. And it'll be the Lord that helps this church to keep going forward. We'll have to have an outside source. Because if we don't, we'll be like that green bay tree. There's a future. There's a future for this church, but watch this. There's a future for the individual that trusts in God. I want to show you just a phrase in verse 37. He said, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is what? Peace. Peace. Can I say the most wonderful thing about knowing the Lord, being saved, having a relationship with God? It's good to serve the Lord down here. But one day down here is going to end. Mark the end of that man. The end. And when this life ends, those that have trusted in the Lord will have peace. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, David wrote. There have been some people that used to sit in these pews, and they're not here today. But they've trusted the Lord. God moved them on to a better country. Amen. Do you understand that if time goes on long enough, and I pray that it does, there'll be some bald-headed preacher maybe standing in a pulpit 80 years from now, and he'll say, let me tell you about the 160 years of Northside Baptist Church. Amen. And he'll say, there were some men and women used to sit in these pews. That's you. That's me. And they're not here now. They've gone on. But you and I, when it is our time, we can go in peace. Yes. Amen. Because we know the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Scott, why don't you get us a verse of a song? Maybe somebody needs to come pray. Maybe you want to come pray about yourself. Maybe you want to come just thank the Lord for His goodness all these years. Whatever it is, if you want to pray, these altars are open. Go ahead, Brother Scott.